The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Mu'ed Katan Daf Chaf Aleph. Today's daf is being studied by the Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by the Nishmat HaManoach Sheneftar B'Kitzur Yamin V'Shanim Ezra Ben Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Hu V'Chol B'nei Yisrael Shrechvim Emo Amen. We begin today's daf on Daf Chaf Amud Bet, and we begin right on the bottom two lines. Amar Leir of Ashel Amemor, Kiri'a de Me'omed Minalan. We learned in the previous story that there was a story of Amemor that made Kiri'a when he was sitting. As a result, he repeated the Kiri'a while he was standing. So you see already that there's a nyan to do the kiri'ah while standing. So the Gemara wants to know, Amalir of Hashem Amemor, kiri'ah de me'omid minalan. How do you know that kiri'ah has to be done me'omid? Dechtiv vayakum Iyov vayikra et me'ilo. The pasuk says by Iyov that he stood up and he tore his garment. This is a story of Avilut. So you see that what? Kiri'ah is done me'omid. By the case of Yibum, where the husband or the brother-in-law does not want to fulfill the Yibum, he wants to do the process of Halitza. So the Pasuk says, Ve'amad, and he stands, Ve'amadla, and he tells the lady, Ve'amad, lo hafasti lekahta. Right? I do not want to take her. Hakana meh? Are you going to tell me that it also means that it must be done standing? Because it says the word Ve'amad. We have a braita, ben Yoshev, ben Omed, ben Mota, whether he's standing, whether he's sitting, whether he's standing, or whether he's leaning. So you see the word Ve'amad is lav dafka. So how come when it came to the Pasuk of Iyov, where it says Ve'ya'amod, or Ve'yakum Iyov, Ve'yikra, et Me'ilo, so who told you that is Me'omed? So the Gemara says, Amad le'hatam, lo ketiv, Ve'ya'amod, Ve'yomer. By the case of Halitza, it doesn't say and he stood up and said. It just says Ve'amad, which is the Torah is just speaking in the normal way, as if we would say like Derech Sipur, and he was standing and he says, but not that he goes out of his way to stand. By Iyov the Pasuk says and he got up, implying that he was sitting first and went out of his way to stand. So there's a difference between Vayakom and just Ve'amad. And therefore the Pasuk is Davka teaching us that you have to stand, a person has to stand when he makes Kriya. Amar Rabbi Bar Hama Minayin L'Kriya Shi Me'omed. So another statement, Rabbi Bar Hama says, how do you know we know that Kriya is done Me'omed? So the Gemara says, Shneimar Vayakom Iyov Vayikra. Again, same pasuk. Yov got up and he ripped his garments. Dilma milta yitirta hu de'abad. Who said? Maybe Yov was being mahmir. Maybe he did something extra. Who told you that the standing for the kiri'ah is mandatory? Maybe Yov was being mahmir on himself. He did something extra that's not mandatory. Because if you're not going to say this, vayagos et rosho. The pasuk says he's trying to pulling out his hair. Hakaname, are you going to tell me that's also mandatory for someone that's in mourning to pull out his hair? Of course not. So therefore, the proof is not a proof because you see, he already did things that are above and beyond, extra. Ela mehaka. The source for kiri'ah me'omed comes from David HaMelech when he heard the news that Avshalom had killed some of his children. So the pasuk says, "Vayakom haMelech vayikra et begadav." So David HaMelech got up and he tore his garments. So the Gemara says, "Vedilma milta yitirta avid." Again, maybe David HaMelech was doing something extra. Who told you that his standing up was mandatory? Maybe he was doing something extra. Because we're not going to say this. Vayishkav arsa, which means it says he also lie down on the floor. Hakaname, are you going to say that that's also mandatory? Now we know that lying on the floor is not mandatory. Kifiyat hamita is mandatory. When you turn over the bed. But not that you have to sleep on the floor. So the Gemara says, well, how do we know that that's not mandatory? Let's say he sat on his bed. This is talking about the mourner. Or he sat on a chair. Or he sat over the, that she calls it a machteshet gedola, which would be the grinder or the mortar, as they call it. Which means he sat either on the bed, a chair, on the mortar. Lo yatsa yidi chovato. He did not fulfill his obligation. But what obligation are we talking about? V'amar Rabbi Yohanan shelo kiyem kifiyat hamita. Jesus' mitzvah to turn the bed over, not to sit on a chair or to sit on a mortar in a different way. This is the mitzvah of kifiyat hamita. And you see over here that what? If a person does not turn over the bed, he's not yotzeh. And therefore, sleeping on the floor is an extra item. You're not yotzeh kifiyat hamita with that. So obviously, David HaMelech did extra things by sleeping on the floor. So then we have no proof that when he stood up for the kiriyah, that is mandatory. The Gemara says, Amar leh ke'en arsa. Which means when it says he slept on the floor, it means it was as if he slept on the floor, meaning really he made kifiyat hamita. And since he made kifiyat hamita, which means he turned his bed upside down, so the pasuk alludes to that and says it was as if as he slept on the floor. He didn't sleep on the floor. He slept on the upside down bed. But that's ke'en arsa. So he only did things that are mandatory. And therefore, just like the kifiyat hamita he did was mandatory, that the pasuk says he slept on the floor, which doesn't mean really the floor, means kifiyat hamita. So when it says vayakum, that he got up to rip his clothes, that is also a mandatory item. Now the Tosafot over here says that when the Tosafot holds over here, when it says the ilotem agiva yishkav arsa, okay, that he lied down on the floor. So the Tosafot wants to say that he definitely did this action over here because of the avilut, because of the purpose of mourning. So the hadush over here is that the Navi comes and tells us that this was talking about actually this pasuk when David HaMelech was, when the pasuk says over here, Vayakom HaMelech Vayikra et Begadav, and then it says, it says Vayishkav Arsa. That's what. This pasuk of Vayishkav Arsa is written by the story of Bathsheba. When Bathsheba had her first son, and the first son died. So the pasuk says that David HaMelech reacted in during that avelut by the pasuk saying Vayishkav Arsa. Just so you know the history. The first pasuk was talking about by David and Avshalom, and the Vayishkav Arsa was in a different episode. And the Gemara is trying to prove over here that for sure David HaMelech was kofe mitato, Tosfot says. Even in the Hava Mina, we had no doubt he was kofe mitato, because David HaMelech obviously follows the halakha. The point of the Gemara is that we see that not only was he kofe mitato, which is assumed, he also slept on the floor. That means he did extra things. So from the fact that you see he did an extra thing of sleeping on the floor besides kifiyat hamita, could be also stood up for the kiriyah, which is also an extra. And to that the Gemara says no, the vayishkav arsa is kifiyat hamita. It's not something extra. So all Tosafot is trying to say over, don't think David HaMelech in the Hava Mina didn't do kifiyat hamita. Vadai did kifiyat hamita, turned the bed over. Ela, we thought that he turned the bed over and he slept on the floor. It was an extra item. And then we see that he was involved in extra activity. So just like he was involved in extra activity of Vayishkav Arza, he was also involved in Vayakom when he got up to rip his clothes. Kamashula, no. That is Kifiyat Tamita. Vayishkav Arza is mandatory, and therefore, that's a proof, and therefore Vayakom is mandatory as well. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braita. Now we're going to discuss different things that are asur for an avil. Elu devarim shavil asur b'hem. The following items, an avil is forbidden to do. Asur b'melacha. Number one, he's forbidden to do melacha. We learned that from the derasha, comparing avilut to hag. Just like on the hag, it's asur melacha, so to avilut, melacha is asur. Bir chitza is bathing, washing. Well, that's also a chitza of ta'anug, because that brings pleasure. Okay? Ubisicha, sicha is anointing, that's similar to rechitza. Ubetashmish, amita, that's marital relations, also pleasure. Ubenailat, a sandal, wearing shoes. Vasur likrot batorah benimim beketubim. He's not allowed to read any of the books of the Tanakh. Veleshnot b'mishnah, nor can he read mishnayot, b'midrash, b'halachot, u'b'hashas, u'b'agadot. Nor in the agadot, which is the derashot. Which is all these things over here forbidden. Now, Dashi right away asks the question, what do you mean? You're telling me that he's permissible to learn, or it's forbidden to learn. But what do you mean? Avil is hayav and all the mitzvot in the Torah. So if an Avil is chayav in all the mitzvot of the Torah, how can you tell me that he can't learn? So that she answers, learning is different. Because learning is a mitzvah that brings to simcha.
Happiness.
And therefore, anything that brings to happiness, that's already going to be asur. Now, the Gemara continues, but if the people need him, he's a rabbi, he gives shi'urim, and they need him to give the shi'urim, he does not refrain. Meaning he can give the shi'ur. A story of the son of Rabbi Yosef died in Sipori. He entered the Beit HaMidrash v'darash kol hayom kulo. And he gave the darasha the entire day. So you see what? If the Rabbim needs him, it is permissible for him to continue giving the shi'urim. He had a certain avilut. Savad gadol mefak de perka. So he thought he's not going to give the shi'ur that day. The learning is that if they need you do not refrain. So the rabbi was telling him, give the shi'ur. So he thought to give the shi'ur in the normal fashion, meaning having the mitur geman next to him. The way they used to do it is, he would broadcast the shi'ur in the Lashon HaKodesh, let's say, and then they would have a mitur geman in Aramaic that would give it over to the people. So he thought to do it in the normal way, meaning bringing his mitur geman. That's the amora. Amar le rav, tanya. Which means you can't bring it to Meturgeman, but you have to show that there's a shinui. So what do you do? There was a story where the son of Rabbi Yehuda ben Ilai passed away. So the rabbi of Hananiah sat next to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Rabbi Yehuda whispered the shi'ur to Rabbi Hananiah. Rabbi Hananiah ben Akaviah leTurgeman, and he subsequently whispered it to the Turgeman. Turgeman hishmiya al Rabbi. So they did it in a different pattern, and therefore it was. He says that the Gemara is only discussing things that the Avil is asur to do, and not the things that he's obligated to do. The Gemara also does not discuss the isur of hanahat tefillin, which is also asur, because that item is only asur on the first day. This Gemara is discussing things that are asur throughout, and for that matter, it doesn't discuss the isur of she'ilat shalom, greeting people, because that also has limitations to certain days. The Gemara also does not quote kibus, laundering. Tosfot says that kibus is included in rechitza. Laundering clothes is included, the Gemara says rechitza. Then Tosafot...
7 days or 30 days?
No, this is 7 days. 7 days. 7 days. It doesn't say that either, correct.
Because you could shave if it bothers the food.
Well, that's only the mustache. Okay, in any event, Tosfot does then say that the menhag today is not to do kifiyat tamita, nor do they do atifat harosh. We learned that one of the things that the Avil has to do is cover his head. So he says, because they're going to suspect that he's involved in kishuf. Because today we live next to goyim, and if the goyim are going to see beds turned over and things like that, they're going to think there's some type of sorcery taking place, and it could be dangerous. And furthermore, he says that the way the beds were done in the olden days, so those beds lent themselves to turning them over. But it's our beds today that have poles coming out of the top of them, when you turn them over, there's no difference, which means it looks the same. So therefore it doesn't make such a difference. And then he says when it comes to the atifah, since the atifah is atifah yishmi'ilin, that would look like a sok. It looks like a joke. The way you would have to wrap yourself up, the people would understand it. Therefore it looks like a joke. And therefore, these items are not done today. Comes the Gemara continues. Incidentally, the Tosafot on Dibur Matir Vasu Lekrot Batorah, he quotes from Rabbeinu Yaakov, that says that the Avel has more restrictions than even Tisha B'Av, which means what is permissible to learn at Tisha B'Av, the Avel is Asur. That was Rabbeinu Yaakov's original thought, and then Tosfot says V'Hazar Bo. But then when he saw Yerushalmi, he did retract. Comes Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan, Avel, Gimel Yamim Rishonim, Asur Laniach Tefillin. The first 3 days, the Avel is forbidden to wear tefillin. Now when it says 3 days over here, it should be pointed out, some have the text the first 2 days, and even if you have the text 3 days, it means not including the third day. So this opinion is holding that only Isur of tefillin is 2 days. And the Gemara says clearly, Mishlishi va'ilach, and from the third day on, Vishlishi bichlal, including the third day, Mutal laniyach tefillin. it is permissible to do. V'imbau panim hadashot. But let's say new faces, people that have not consoled the mourners yet, they show up on the second day. So therefore it says, or on the third day actually, they come on the third day, eno choletz. He does not have to take his tefillin off. Because you might have thought that maybe on the third day, if he's going to wear his tefillin, the people might think that he wore the tefillin the day before as well. And that's asur. So it's a benit ayin issue. So he said, no, once the third day comes, even if a new person comes to the house, he can leave his tefillin on. Rabbi Yeshua argues and says, Avel bet yamim arishonim asur laniyat tefillin. Misheni vishini bichlal mutal laniyat tefillin. So Rabbi Yeshua, only one day is asur. Meaning from the second day, and including the second day, it's permissible to wear the tefillin. V'imbau panim hadashot. However, he's machmir in this sense, that if somebody comes on the first, on the second day, so then already he has to take his tefillin of choletz. Why? Because if he's a new person, he might think that just like he's wearing tefillin today, he might have worn tefillin yesterday. And therefore, we have Rabbi Yeshua is stringent in this sense, but he's lenient in the sense that he says that tefillin is only not worn on the first day. Amar Rav Matna, what's the reason of Rabbi Yehazer that says tefillin is not worn for 2 days? When it talks about the mourning days of Moshe Rabbeinu, it says yemeh. So yemeh means minimum plurality is two, implying that the main avilut is 2 days, and therefore tefillin cannot be worn. Now the reason why they picked tefillin is because tefillin is called pe'er, it's a glory. And it's not proper to dress, to wear a pe'er, which is the glory at the time of that a person has ifir, that a person is wallowing in his in the ashes. Because they used to custom to put ashes also on top of the head. So therefore, that's why they picked tefillin. In any event, it's from the word yemeh. Amar Rav Ina, Ma'itam Adar B'Yoshua, what's the reason of B'Yoshua? Why he says only one day dechtiv, v'harita kiyom mar. Which means they call the avelut, the harita, the end, kiyom mar. It's like a bitter day. So therefore, the ikar avelut according to him is one day. V'Rabbi Yoshua nameh, haketi v'yitimu yemeh. What does Rabbi Yoshua do with the words v'yitimu yemeh? Amalecha, shani Moshe detakif avle. And Moshe is different. Moshe Rabbeinu's avelut was a very severe avelut, because it's Moshe Rabbeinu after all. Therefore, his avelut was 2 days. But everybody else's, the ikar avelut is one. Oh, what does the Bidya Ezer do with the Pasuk Ma'arita Kiyomar, which is Mashmas one day? He says, Ikar Merira Chad Yomar Hava. Yeah, the main Merirut is one day, but still the Ikar Avinut is 2 days, the Gabedi Tefillin. So each rabbi has their own Pasuk and goes back and forth what he does with his other Pasuk. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Uda. Now we get discussion of Uda. Halakha Rabbi Eliezer b'halitza. We're going to follow the halakha of Rabbi Eliezer when it comes to halitza, which means what was Rabbi Eliezer's halitza? On day 3, it's permissible to take off the tefillin. You don't have to put it back on if somebody comes, which means b'halitza. You're allowed to take.
You don't take it off.
B'halitza. Forgive me. It is permissible to keep the tefillin on. It's permissible, 100%, it's permissible to keep the tefillin on, and we're not worried about merit ayin on day 3. V'alacha can be Yeshua behanaha. And we're going to follow to be Yeshua legabe hanaha, which means it's only forbidden legabe tefillin on day 1, which is day 2, it is permissible to, or not permissible, you have to wear, person has to wear tefillin. So let's review what he said over here. Halacha can be the ezer legabe the halitza. That on day 3, it's permissible for him to wear the tefillin, doesn't have to worry about marit ayin issues.
Day
3, because that's what Rabbi Eliezer said, he'll talk about day 3. And according to Rabbi Yeshua, he's going to forsake that what? That on day 2, he starts to wear the tefillin. So the Gemara asks now, Ibaidu, Bashini le'ula. What happens on the second day? Choletz or in choletz? Which means you only told me he goes like Rabbi Eliezer, like a behalitza. Well, like a behalitza, Rabbi Eliezer said, you keep it on day 3. So if you're following Rabbi Eliezer, the Gabed day 3, what is he all the Gabed day 2? Because on day 2, according to him, you wear tefillin. So we want to know, what's going to be the deen? Do you have to keep the tefillin on? Or do you have to take the tefillin off on day 2? Do you have to take it off on day 2? So the Gemara says, Tashema, Amar Ula, Choletzu Meniach, Afilu Me'a Pa'amim. He comes along, you take it off even 100 times. Which means, no matter how many times a new person comes in on day 2, Bottom line, the tefillin have to be taken off. And they put it back on again. Somebody else comes in, new guy, take them off again. Even 100 times. So you see him over here, comes out. He holds like Rabbi Yoshua that what? The first day, no tefillin. Second day, put the tefillin on. But what? But you choletz afilu me'ah pa'amim. In the sense that what? That if somebody new comes in, we're worried that he's going to think that you wore tefillin the day before as well. So then we'll take it off. But that's on day two. However, on day three, then already we go like Rabbi Eliezer, that he's able to keep the tefillin on the whole day. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanya Ramechir, we have a bright that is supported. Yehuda ben Tema Omer. Yehuda ben Tema says, Choletz u'maniach afilu me'ah pa'amim. Again, even 100 times, he puts them, takes them off and puts them back. Every time there is panim, hadashot. Rabbah Amar, Kevan Sheniach, Rabbah argues. He says, no, once you put the tefillin on day two, Shuv eno choletz. Finished. We're not worried about the tayin. Once you put the tefillin on, you put it on. So the Gemara says, wait. The arava hu damar alecha ketanadidan. Damar shelosha. Which means, if you remember, our Mishnah held that what? That a person needs to have 3 days of avelut before the holiday in order for the holiday to be posek. Right? Anything less than 3 days, the holiday is not going to be posek. So what do you see from Rava? That the Ikar Avilut is what? 3 days. Oh, so if he holds the Ikar Avilut is 3 days, how can he tell me over here that once you put the tefillin on, you're not choletz, which is mashma over here from the second day? How could you put on the tefillin on the second day? I thought according to Rava, he holds like Amish, the Ikar Avilut is 3 days. Because again, here Rava is saying what? Once you put on the tefillin, which is when? We're saying day two. Ain't no choletz. You keep it on the whole time. What do you mean? How can you tell me you can put on the tefillin on day two? I thought you hold that Ikar Avilut is 3 days, like you said in the Mishnah, that unless the guy was mourning for 3 days, the holiday is not posek. So the Gemara answers, mitzvah shani. And mitzvah is different. Which means the Gabet tefillin, since it's a mitzvah, we're going to be mahmir and say he has to put the tefillin on already on day two. That she says, Kolomaru ilu mitzvah, that he has tefillin matzi lani al da'altar b'sheni. Immediately has to put it on the second day. Comes the Gemara, incidentally, Tosafot holds, the bottom Tosafot on the Amud Rishon. He wants to say that tefillin is worn, actually, in the Tosafot Divina Matim Shlishi Va'ilach. He wants to say that Tisha B'Av, the Ben Yitzhak was matir to wear tefillin. Because we treat Tisha B'Av as Yom Shlishi of Avedut. So according to everybody, Yom Shlishi of Avelut is a day of tefillin, and that's the heter to wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av. Comes the Gemara continues, Tar Rabbanan. We have a Braita, Avel. Somebody that Chatzot Lomis B'Avelut, Gimel Yamim Rishonim, Asur B'Mlacha. The first 3 days, it is forbidden for him to involve himself in Melacha. Va'afilu Ani, Hamitpanes Min HaTzedakah. That's the Hadush. That even a poor person that takes charity, still the first 3 days is very stringent, no work. From then on in, it's permissible for him to do work modestly in his house. But Tosfot says, who's able to? Only La'ani. Which is not everybody. This heter of Bitsina'a betok beto is only for a ani. Except the Yom Kikulo, which means once already the third day comes, already it's permissible to do work. However, it should be noted that Tosfot does bring another shita that wants to say that after the third day, including the third day, could be permissible for everybody to do work. It's a machlok if this is just for an ani, amit banis min tzedakah, or even a regular person. Tosfot brings down both shitot. Vaisha tava bepelach betoch betan. A lady is able after the third day to spin with the spindle, the threads in the house. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tanu Rabbanan, Avel, Gemara Rishonim. The first 3 days of Avelut, in Olech Lebet Avel. He's not allowed to go to another house of mourner. Because he wants to pay a consolation visit to somebody else. Now the first 3 days he doesn't leave his house. Even to go to another house of mourning. Vikan Ba'ilach Olech. But after the third day he's able to go. The Eno Yosef Mkoma Menachamim. But he does not sit in the place where the consolers are when he visits the house. He has to sit where the mourners are sitting. Tosfot learns from over here that this is the heter that we have to go to synagogue on Tisha B'Av. Because again, since we consider Tisha B'Av as the third day of Avelut, So that allows us to go out. Otherwise, in Avil, the first 3 days really cannot go out. But if you consider Shabbat like the third day of Avilut, that is the heter to go to the synagogue. Comes Gemara continues. Tanu Rabbanan, Avil Gimel Yamim Arishonim. The first 3 days of Avilut, Asur B'Sheilat Shalom. He's not allowed to greet people with the specific term of saying Shalom. From 3 to 7. Meshiv ve'eno shoel. He can only respond. When if somebody tells him shalom, he can respond, but he cannot initiate. Mikan va'ilach, after the 7 days, shoel u'meshiv kedarko. He's able to say shalom and of course respond in the normal fashion. Shlosha yamim rishonim asur b'shelat shalom. You tell me in the first 3 days, the avil is not allowed to say shalom. V'atanya, we have a braita. Ma'ase, umetu banav shel Rabbi Akiva. Story of the children of Rabbi Akiva died. Nichnesu kol Yisrael v'espidu mispeid gadol. So all the Jewish people went and they gave a great eulogy. Shat b'tiratan, when the people were leaving the eulogy, Amad Rabbi Akiva asafsal gadol ve'amar. Rabbi Akiva got up on a bench and he said, Achenu bet Yisrael shema'u. Listen, brothers of Israel. Afilu shene banim hatanim. Menuham hava b'shvil kavod sh'asitem, which is even if my sons were married, where the pain is much worse and they had died, you should know I am consoled because of the kavod that you have done today. Vim b'shvil Akiva batim, and if you have come to honor Akiva, hare kam Akiva b'shuk. There's many Akiva b'shuk, which means the kavod that you came is not for me. There's many Akivas in the marketplace. So why did you come? But this is what you said. Torat Elohav Bilibo. You came because you know I have the Torah of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in my heart. Which means you came to respect the Torah. V'kot shekhen shesechartem kaful. And if all the more so, your reward is going to be compounded. It's going to be doubled. Number one, you fulfilled the mitzvah that you consoled me. And number two, kavod haTorah. You only came because you know the Torah of God is in my heart. Lechu lebatechem leshalom. So he told them, go back to your homes in peace. Beshalom. Leshalom. Oh, we have a question. I thought we said that in the first 3 days there's no she'elat shalom. Kavod answers, kavod rabim shani. This is different in Yan. This is kavod rabim. Rabbi Akiva was one of the masses of people, and therefore he allowed himself to tell them lechu leshalom. Gemara now analyzes. Megimal ve'atzayim. We said from 3 to 7, meshiv ve'eno shoel. He can only respond, but could not initiate. Because ba'ilach, after 7, shoel u'meshiv kedarko. That he's able to do it kedarko in the normal way. Urminu, we have a contradiction. Hamotzit chavero avil. The person bar minan sees his friend avil. Betoch lamidyom, within 30 days, medaber imot tanchomim. So of course he has to talk to him words of consolation. Ve'eno shoel b'shlomo. He's not allowed to tell him shalom. Now right away, that's a question l'chaurah, because we said after 7 days, already shoelu meshiv kedarko. Now you're telling me within 30 days, already a person's not allowed to tell the avil shalom. Le'ahar lami, but only after 30, shoel b'shlomo, then already he's able to tell him shalom. Ve'enu medabir emo tarchomin. And that's it. After 30 days, do not talk any words of consolation. It's over. Meta ishto. Bar Minan, if a person's wife passes away, v'nasa isha acheret, and he got remarried, now the case is talking about over here, the Mefashi point that, as she enters forth, within 30 days. How can he get married within 30 days? In one of two scenarios. Either he has no children, he did not fulfill the mitzvah, then it's permissible for him to get remarried within 30 days, or he has little children, and he needs help with them. Therefore, he's allowed to remarry, Tosfot says, so his new wife will take care of the children. In any event, person should not go into his house of his friend within 30 days and start consoling him because it's not kavod to his new wife, because it's going to as if his new wife is not existent, and therefore it's going to be make the new wife feel bad. However, if you find the guy in the marketplace, omelo besafar afa ubko bedrosh. So you say with a soft mouth and a heavy heart, meaning you give him a certain type of consolation, but only in the marketplace, not in the not in his house. Oh, so bottom line, we have a question mark after this line, which means you just told me that within 3 and 7, a person, the Avil, is allowed to respond, right? A person is allowed to respond. And here you're telling me now that even after 7, a person over here now is not allowed to say shalom to the Avil. Because what do we say? If you see him in the street, you console him within 30, but you cannot tell him shalom. But over here, it's mashma that after 7, that's the point, after 7, kedarko, everything's back to normal. Shoelu meshiv kedarko. So how could you tell me that after 7, kedarko? But here it says even after 7, you can't even tell him shalom. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Idi bar Ravin, who shoel b'shalom achirim? Yes, there's a difference. He is allowed, after 7 days, he is allowed to shoel b'shalom achirim. He can ask how they're doing. Why? Shahidim shurim b'shalom. Because yes, other people have shalom. Other people have peace. Right. However, achirim en shualim b'shlomo. But others are not allowed to tell him shalom. Why? Shu'en o'sharui b'shalom. Because he is not at peace. And therefore, the way we reconcile is as follows. Look at the Rashi. Amar Rav Idi, hu shu'el b'shalom acharim. Kelomar, tarit ha'ad etani mikan v'edo shu'el kedarko. That which we said, that within 30 days. B'toch shloshim yom, du shu'el b'shalom acharim. That means he is allowed to initiate and say shalom to others. Why? Shem shurim b'shalom. V'adiktani betok lam b'dyom. And that which we learned above, that within 30, eno shoel b'shlomo, that means en acherim shoalim b'shlomo, that others are not allowed to tell him shalom within 30. Why? Because he doesn't have shalom. So again, according to, at this point in the Gemara, when it says mikan va'ilach, which means after the 7, she's within the 30 days. After the 7, he is permissible now to tell people shalom, because they have shalom. However, after the 7, within the 30, they are not allowed to tell him shalom. That's the way we answer. Okay? So comes the Gemara and says, V'ham ediktani meshiv. What are you talking? It says over there that he's able to... He's able to respond. Which means already after the third day, between 3 and 7, he's able to be meshiv. Michlal deshalinale. Implying that what? That they must be telling him shalom. How could you be telling me that you're not allowed to tell David shalom only till after 30 days? Already after the third day it says, he answers. What do you mean he answers? I mean they're telling him shalom. Kibra says, no. We're talking about people who don't know. Which means the guy doesn't know. He comes after the third day and tells the Avel Shalom. In that case over there, he doesn't know, so you don't gotta embarrass the guy. You tell him Shalom. Hatam nameh. So the Gemara says, hold it. If that's the case, why are you only telling me from 3 to 7 you can be Meshiv? You should even be able to be Meshiv the first 3 days. Why did it say the first 3 days you can't do anything? Why? L'chaaron, the first 3 days, you should be able to be meshiv. Why? Because if you talk about a guy who doesn't know, l'chaaron should apply even on the first 3. Kabbalah says, now, hatam muda lehu velo madelu. The first 3 days is very severe. A guy makes a mistake and doesn't know the guy's avil. You tell him, listen, the guy's avil, you know how to do what you just did, and he doesn't answer. Ha-ha, but after 3 days, lo tzarich le'od'inhu. And therefore, you don't have to stop. So therefore, it comes out according to this so far, that the first 3 days, nothing. Even if a guy makes a mistake and tells the avil shalom, you tell the guy, listen, he's avil, he can't answer you. Finished. Within 3 to 7, even the avil cannot initiate, cannot tell the people shalom. However, nor can they tell him shalom. However, if they made a mistake and they told him shalom, so then already you don't have to tell the guy anything, and the mourner can answer back meshiv, but only to those that made a mistake. But if there's no mistake, really there should be no shalom being interacted back and forth. Oh, now after the 7, again within the 30, which means he can now tell people shalom because there is shalom by them, but they cannot tell him shalom because he doesn't have shalom. After 30, they can even tell him shalom, because now after 30, the avilut is technically over, and it can be the shalom. So let's review quickly again the levels. The first three, no negotiating. There's no shalom back and forth. Even if a guy makes a mistake, you have to let him know. Between 3 and 7, again, there's really no shalom between anybody. However, if the menahem makes a mistake, you don't have to tell him. He doesn't know that the guy's mourning. You don't have to tell him, and the mourner is able to answer back. Able to be meshiv. Between 7 and 30, the mourner can initiate shalom to others because they have shalom, but they cannot initiate shalom to him because he has no peace. Right. But after 30, they can even initiate shalom to him because by then he has peace. But the Gemara has a question on this. What do you mean? Amotzin chavero avil betuch yudbet chodesh. He finds a person that's avil bar minan 12 months. First 12 months. Medaber emot tanchomin. Of course, within the first 12 months, he has to speak. Words of consolation. Ve'eno shoel b'shlomo. Here we see it's not a 30-day. You cannot tell shalom to the mourner within 12 months. La'har yabchodes, but after 12 months, shoel b'shlomo. Okay, you can say shalom to him. Ve'eno bedaber imot terchomin. And again, no more words of consolations. Avan bedaber imot minatzad. You're able to speak to him about the deceased indirectly. Fiji, you don't mention his name. You don't mention the name of the deceased, but you just tell him, t'neham, meaning be consoled. That's after 12 months, not directly referring to the deceased. Why? Let's say a person sees his friend after 12 months, and he starts giving him consolation and so on and so forth. What is he analogous to? Let's say a person broke his leg, and it healed. Now he sees a doctor. The Amar lo klach etzli, come to me, shani shobra, I'll break your leg again, the erpeena, and then I'll heal it. Kedesh teda, so I'll prove to you shesememarim sheli yafin. So you know that my healing, my medicine is very good. Which is after 12 months, the guy forgot already. So now you're coming along and you're saying, oh, your father, he was such a this and such a that. Now you broke the guy again, and now you come along and say, but be consoled. So what do you want to break the guy to show that you know how to fix him? Don't break him. After 12 months, only minatzad. Oh, but bottom line, we have a question. We just said that, that after 30 days already, she'elat shalom is permissible. You could tell the mourner shalom. Here we're saying the cutoff point is 12 months. Kemara says, lakasha, ha babi ve'mo, ha bishar kerubim. Depends. When it comes to other relatives besides the mother and the father, after 30 days, he's back to receive shalom from others. Now he has peace after 30 days. But for his father, his mother, that's a severe avilut. They cannot tell him shalom for 12 months. So that is the hiluk. Comes the Gemara and says, Hatam nameh yedaber imo tanhumin. Minatzad, which means it said above in the Braita that after 30 you speak to him words of Tanhumin. The Gemara's question is like this. You told me in the original Braita that after 30 you see the guy with other relatives that's mourning other relatives, speak to him Tanhumin. What do you mean? The Gemara says, you should only now allude to it indirectly, because the same thing, why should you break something and then fix it again like the Gemara's Mashal? So Gemara says, "Ein achin ameh." You're right. Umay eno medaber imot tanhumim. And what does it mean? Which is the Braita above said. I repeat for clarification. The Braita above said, after 30 days, you do not speak tanhumim at all. At all. To that, Gemara says, why at all? Let him speak minatzad. Let him speak indirectly. To that, Gemara says, you're right. What does it mean when we said you do not speak to him in the normal fashion? Exactly. But can speak minatzad. Comes Gemara and continues. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a braita. Avil, a mourner. Gimel yamim arishonim, the first 3 days, ba mimakom karov, She's, let's say the case is talking, the family is sitting already. One of the brothers was not there where the sitting was, but he was mimakom karov. That's Tosfot says he was within 10 parsaot away from where they were sitting. And he surfaced within the first 3 days. So he picks up the avelut from where they are. He does not have to sit 7 days. He's misar after them. Because since he could have gotten there by day one, because he was in a close place, he gets, let's say, day two, he just sits 5 more days and finish. He doesn't have to sit all 7. Bam, imakom rachok. But if he comes from a far place, which means there was no way for him to get there from the beginning of the avelut, moneh le'atzmo, which means he has to start counting for himself, mikan, right, 7, mikan va'ilach, afilu ba, I'm sorry, mikan va'ilach, after the 7 days of avelut, afilu ba me'makom karov moneh le'atzmo, I'm sorry, after 3 days of avelut, he's on his own even if he comes to makom karov. Which means the hiddush of makom karov is what if he makes it within the first 3 days, he just finishes the avelut with them. He sits 4 more days. Let's say if he came on day 3, since that day 4, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, because I'm explaining it to you, because he could have got there. Since he could have got there, it's like he's there,
even though he knew about it.
But the point is, he didn't service on day 3. But since he could have gotten there on day 1, because he's makom karov, we can say he's with the family. Because he's karov, so karov is like he's there. Oh, however, if he shows up in makom karov after 3 days, you're too late.
Finish.
Now he has to sit the full 7.
His own 7.
His own 7. Look at Rashi now. Moni imahim Rashi. Ima avelim shivoto makomo il de makom karomava. V'yachol lavo betchilat ha'avelut. He could have came from the beginning of the avelut. Hashbina le kemo de'ata. We consider it as if he came. De'en omone ela hamisha yamim im shar avelim. He's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Maybe if he gets there on day 3. Rabbi Shimon omer, Rabbi Shimon says, afilu ba bayom ha'shivi'im makom karov mone imahim. Rabbi Shimon's mekel. His evening gets there by day 7. He still finishes day 7 with them, and it's over. I mean, he only has to sit 1 day. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Mor, Gimel Yamim Arishonim, Ba Mimakom Karov Moneh Mahem, Amar Avchaya Bar Abba, Amar Yohanan, Vehu Sheyesh Gadol Abayit Bebayit. One more condition, that so long as the oldest family member is sitting, so all the other brothers are drawn after the Gadol Abaya. That which we said, Babi Makom Karov, within 3 days, you follow their counting. That's only when the Gadol Abaya was already sitting. However, if let's say the Gadol Abaya was out of the house, and the Tsa'id, the younger one, was sitting, the young one does not draw the Gadol Abayit to his sitting, to his avelut. And then no matter when the Gadol Abayit comes, he has to count the 7 on his own. Look at Rashi now. Last Rashi of the daf. She is Gadol Abayit. Babayit. Sheba umatza Gadol Abayit bebayit. Right, when he got there, he saw the Gadol Abayit there. Monei imahin. Ima bele Abayit. Vezeh sheba u atza'il memenu. And the guy who's younger showed up. Aval imaya Gadol baderech. But if the Gadol was on the road, Uba betoch shlosha yamim, and he came within 3 days, afilu makom karov, moneh la'atzmo, delo hashiv avilut detzair, the avilut that the tzair is doing, let's terufe Gadol ba'adeh, to bring the Gadol with him. And therefore, dafka, if the Gadol Abayit is sitting, he draws the tzair that comes within 3 days, but not the opposite. There's different opinions what makes the Gadol Abayit. Some say older, some say the one that makes the decisions of the family. There's a whole question if you say Gadol Abayit by the older sister, or this is only by a man. But that's basically the two shitot.
Let's say
the two young ones. From Nasi, it's mashma older and younger. So from other Rishonim, it's mashma the decision maker of the family. Now it should be noted, one Tosfot on the bottom, when the Gemara says, even if he came on day 7 Mimakom Karov, according to Rabbi Shimon, Tosfot says you have to say that they didn't get up yet. Because if they, because already we don't accept the Yom Kippur, they can get up already by the seventh day in the morning. So if the guy services on the seventh day and the thing is over, he's not declared a harem. So talk about the bottom to the Yom Kippur. And then by the seventh morning it's over. So what do you mean if he surfaces on the seventh day he's nikran? Which means there's still consolers in the house. They're still consoling them. They didn't get up yet. And therefore, then we say the seventh day can count for the one that came.